Hello.
I'm here today. I am here with y'all. Very excited to be here with y'all. I had some life things happen. My mom passed away. Not this Monday, but last Monday. After a very, very short illness. It was shocking. It was surprising. And I was going to talk just a little, a lot of us in this, I have bonded with a lot of you in this membership over our mamas. Okay. Because we've all had, a lot of us have had amazing mothers, and some of us have had not so amazing mothers. And so Kathy Hartman is here actually because I met with her this week because I've really had a hard time processing everything that happened over the course of the few days, the week that she was in the hospital. And I just want to kind of talk through what happened for me because, I share everything with y'all. I share everything. And just for all of you who have really a hard relationships with your moms, I really did want to just start off today talking about sort of what happened, what my process was. And so my mom, we had just recently moved her into a nursing home. And so from assisted living, she ended up in a nursing home at the end of last year. And so still difficult as always when we moved her into the nursing home. But when she was having trouble swallowing for a weekend, just the weekend before we put her in the hospital, that Monday morning, I went to Pilates and I stopped by her nursing home. And I was like, if she still can't swallow, I'm going to tell them to take her to the hospital. So they did. And I had called all day. I was doing the START program, I had work to do. And so my husband went and sat with her all day. And when I got finished with my calls and I could just do emails and whatnot, I took all of that up to the hospital. When I walked into the hospital that day, she was still in the hallway of the emergency room. She'd been there all day. I knew something was different. In my heart, I felt like I was not going to leave. She was not going to leave the hospital. I just felt like in my spirit, something was different this time. Anyway, she gets admitted. That's on a Monday. Tuesday, she has an endoscopy because she can't swallow. Everything is coming back up. She can't even swallow water. And she was just, there was a lot that went on in that day. She had an endoscopy and they found a mass, okay, in her esophagus. And the doctor said it did not look good. He couldn't even get the scope all the way in, didn't know how long it's been there, whatnot. So thankfully, though, my husband called me. He was at the hospital with her. I was here working, and I reached out to the team and I said, I'm going to go up to the hospital. We just found out my mom has a mass in her esophagus. And this amazing team, this amazing coach team, literally just stepped in and they're like, whatever y'all need, whatever you need, right? And so I go up there. She is as clear as a bell. She's clear as a bell. My mom had been having some issues. She's clear as a bell. So I talked to her about what they found. And I said, if it is malignant, here's what would happen. If it's benign, here's what would happen. And she said, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. I don't want any. No, I don't. I don't want any of that. And I said, okay, what do you want? And she said, I want it to be fast. I want it to be painless. And I want you to wear my jewelry as much as you can. And I said, that can happen. This is her necklace, actually. These are her earrings. I have them on today. She said, that's really all I want. We sat around all day. She told me what songs to play at her funeral. She told me exactly what she wanted. And I felt so much better about every decision that I was going to have to make in the next several days. So, but here's what happened. I actually was on the START call on Tuesday. Or Wednesday morning. I don't even remember my days. You know how it is, days run together. But I talked to Karen Brent and she mentioned something about, having a difficult relationship with your parent and whatnot. I will tell y'all that week, something that shifted for me. I think it shifted for me and I think it shifted for her. I softened to her. all of that, like whatever, it melted. I felt like I was melting inside. Like that's the only way I can really describe it. I think I realized holding on to everything I had felt for her in the past was not going to change my childhood. I could not go back and change what she said and what she did to me. But what I did have in front of me was a woman who was so scared, who was at the end of her life, and she needed somebody, and I was going to be that person. So I felt like a melting, like just a melting in my heart. It just faded away. We move into Wednesday. My daughters came in to see their grandmother. The doctor came in and said that they could not say if it was cancer or it wasn't cancer because of they just couldn't get a good biopsy because it was the mass was so big, couldn't get a good biopsy. But I had promised my mom on Tuesday nothing else. We were going to do nothing else. We're going to move comfort measures. It was all we were going to do. But my daughter was there, and she heard her say that all they could really find was like inflammation. So my daughter was like, "What if she just needs a steroid? Like, I think it's more than that." And I promised grandma we weren't going to do anything. But at that point, I had to make a decision. That was the hardest decision I made of the week. My kids know my history with my mom. I, in that moment, realized I am teaching my children how to care for me at the end of my life. That is what my job is. I'm showing them how to be. I also did not want years from now for there to ever be a thought that I did not do everything I could for grandma because of the relationship I had with her, which I knew in my heart was shifting. I knew I was doing what was right by her, but my kids don't know that. They don't know the inside of my heart. So I opted to give her another endoscopy on Thursday. And it was cancer, which I knew. But when I walked into that hospital that day, my mom said, "You promised me. You promised me you wouldn't do this to me." And I said, "This is the last thing I promise." She said, "That's what you said the other day." But I know if she would have been in her right mind, she would have. Kathy helped me see this the other day. I coached with Kathy the other day because I was having a hard time with that decision to do that endoscopy. But if she would have been of sound mind, my mom would have probably actually felt amazing that her grandkids cared enough about her that they wanted her to have a repeat endoscopy. So we did it. I did it. And then I was with her on Thursday again. That was Thursday. Friday, she qualified for hospice, of course, but not the hospice house, which is where I wanted her. They were going to send her back to the nursing home. So my husband and I were there on Friday, and they said we're going to go ahead and discharge her today back to the nursing home. And I was like, "Oh, I don't want her to go to the nursing home." So she said, "Well, just wait a few minutes. The social worker will be up here in a minute to talk to you about her transfer." So I told my husband was with me. I was like, "Get your shit, we're leaving." He was like, "What? Where are we going?" I was like, "They're coming to talk to us." I said, "Exactly. If we're not here, they can't discharge her." So we left. We went and had dinner, came back. I was there from Friday to Monday. By Saturday, she did qualify for hospice. And she was on morphine and whatnot at that point. But here's where the biggest shift came. I have rewritten my story about my mama about 50 times. I've worked on it. I've worked on my story. I've worked on my relationship with my mom. I can't even tell you how many times. And I always land at she did the best she could. She did the best she could. She did the best she could. But I felt like it was a mantra and I didn't really believe it. So as I'm laying there, I played hymns for her and I stayed with her the whole time, you know. And I was playing hymns and I just kept like rubbing her chest and I would hold her hand and whatnot. And I was like, how did she do the best she could? Like, I was like, I want some examples. And so the one that I came up with that I have never thought of before, my mom had bipolar. My mom was not stable at all. She was just not a stable woman at all. She never took care of herself. She just never did. She's never been helped. She's only 76, the oldest 76-year-old you'll ever meet in your life. Just not healthy. And so she, my mom had me, got pregnant with me. And for 9 months, she took care of me. She had to do something that she rarely did in her life. She had to take care of herself to grow me. She had to prioritize her health. She had to do that was the best she could. Now, not much after birth did she do, but I looked at my life in that moment and y'all and my kids and my friends and my life that I get to have and I get to live. Because she took care of herself for 9 months, I get to have all of this. And for that, I am so grateful that she did that for me. That was the best she could. So all of the just anger is gone. And I wish I knew how. I wish I could tell y'all like this path that I like took over that last those days. I don't know the path, but I will tell y'all. I feel so much peace. And I always told my friends, for years I've said, when my mama is dead, the only reason I'm going to her funeral is to make sure she's really dead. And then I'm gonna have a big old party. I don't feel like that at all. I don't feel like that at all. It's all melted away. So I just want to let y'all know that there is hope for, is everybody gonna feel like I feel right now after they lose a difficult parent? I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just so blessed that I got to stay there with her at the end for those last 3 days. For whatever I had on Friday was what I had on Monday when we left the hospital. I never left. I was with her the moment she took her last breath. And I'm forever grateful that I got to do that. And I did. I've been saying for a long time, I want to take care of my grandmother's baby the best I could. And I did that. And I always said I wanted to be proud of how I handle myself. I did that too. So, no regrets. I did the best I could. I honored her wishes and I took exquisite care of my grandmother's child. And at the end of the day, it doesn't change my childhood. No child should have to go through what I went through with a parent. No child. It does not excuse her at all. But she did the best she could. And she was my mom. So there's that. That I just wanted to share. Because we've been through it. Y'all have heard me talk about her and complain about her. And, we've shared our stories together. Y'all have trusted me with your mama stories too. And I just appreciate the trust that you always have given me. And I feel like by sharing what ended up happening at the end, is some way maybe I can give somebody hope or, just show y'all how much I trust y'all with my stories too, because we all are very similar in just processing emotions. It's very, and the other thing is, we're talking a lot about emotional eating and feelings and all this other stuff. And I get to be sad. It's okay. I lost my mom. It's okay that for a minute I was feeling bad that I didn't get this feeling earlier with her. But that's not how it was. I had to process through everything in its own time. And you know, she knows now that I feel like, you know, how I feel about her. I was able to sit in that room and talk to her and talk to her and talk to her and talk to her. And so I'm at peace with how I showed up. And I'm thankful. To be in the room with someone when they take their last breath is an honor, and it is a privilege to be able to be there with that person. And I'm just glad I was there. So, there's that. Let's answer some questions. Let's answer some questions. Yes. So, no regret. No regrets. And I'm thankful. And then funeral is this weekend, and my no BS besties are coming in, and we got people coming in from everywhere. And so, just gonna spend this weekend honoring her, honoring just life in general. So, yeah, the funeral is on Saturday. But thankfully, we didn't plan it for last Saturday. Everything got canceled because we got covered in snow. We got covered in snow. So, you'll see new jewelry because I'll be wearing her jewelry. I did find something funny that y'all are gonna find amusing. I was going through her jewelry, and looky what I found. 50-pound Weight Watchers pin. Look at how big this person is at 50 pounds, and then look how svelte thin she is. 50 pounds down. Oh God. Yeah, my mom was I was talking to Corinne about this yesterday. So she was a weight when I was little. She lost all of her weight with Weight Watchers, and she was a leader. But then, of course, she gained it all back. And then we went to Weight Watchers several times ourselves. But when she was not eating, she said, "I wish they would weigh me. I bet you I've lost some weight. I know I have. I have to have lost some weight." I was like, "Mama, I'm sure you haven't really been eating." She said, "If I could just, I wish I knew what my weight was." And so she had like a, you know, big round belly. And she was when she was right, like not long before she passed, a couple of hours, you know, she was not with us. She was like, you know, out of it. And I said, "Mama, if you could look, if you could put your head up right now and look down, your stomach, that bulge at the top is gone. You'd be so happy right now if you could look down at your stomach." But still, you know, worried about weight. And even in that. In that time. So, that's how it is, right? Like we just still worried about weight. I just hope that I, you know, I'm so thankful now I found no BS and I can let all that go. So yeah, there's just always thinking about it, you know. Whitney said, "Just wanted to say how proud I am of you because you have to be okay with your choices now after she is gone, and you wouldn't be who you are if she hadn't been who she was." That's exactly right. She is the reason your sweet grandma raised you. Look, yes, that's true. Look at who you are because of all of that. That is so true. Oh, Christy said, "I knew this was going to be a tough call for you and for me." Oh, yeah, Christy lost her dad this past weekend. Yes. We had a similar relationship to you and your mom. I didn't get to say goodbye in the way I wanted to. I'm acting like things are normal, but they aren't. Right. That's to be expected. How do I begin to process when I don't even know what to think? Or do I just need to give myself grace and time to process and heal? I'm not angry. I hurt. I'm hurt. I forgive him. Yeah, I will tell you, I did not get to say goodbye to my dad in the way that I wanted to. But I wrote him a letter. Somebody told me to write him a letter. A grief counselor, actually, he was in hospice, to just write down a letter to him. And not that it's going to go anywhere. Not that it's going to do anything. I will tell you that that was so powerful for me, just to be able to write down everything I wish I could have said, everything I wanted to say, and all of that. It was an amazing, it was just it's really a great way. I'm actually going to write my mom a letter and put it in her grave too. Sue said she's done that too. It's super helpful. And yeah, just give yourself time, grace, and time to process. I love that. Yes. And Kathy said she gives that assignment often as well, just to write down everything that you're thinking. And you think like, yeah, Jenny wrote a letter. There's something about whenever you can kind of slow down your brain and just write down everything you're thinking. And it felt like a conversation with my dad. And I'm sure that it's going to feel like a letter, like a conversation with my mom as well. I'm sure that it will. It is a release. Yes, Lori. And I'm so sorry, Christy. It's difficult. It's a difficult time. I was just coaching somebody on the start, and it's been a year, and she was judging herself because it's like, well, it's been a year. I should be over it. There's no timeline on it, and there's no way to know how you're going to process it. And you just have to let it be your own way. You know, everybody grieves differently, everybody handles it differently. And you just have to let your way be the right way. Your way is the right way. Always. It's always the right way. Anonymous says, I'm asking for myself since I had your childhood. How do you know she took care of herself when she was pregnant? I don't. But I'm here and I'm healthy. So I can just say that. I'll never know. I'll never know. Asking so I can come to some sort of peace regarding my mother. Yeah, I don't know. I get to decide, right? I get to write the story. But I'm here, I'm healthy. I think it was 8 or 9 pounds. So I'm assuming she did, you know. So she just did. So that's how I decided. What is the amazing mascara you have? Oh my God, Jen Saya got it for me for Christmas. I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. I don't remember, but I do like it a lot. I'll have to look it up. Jen Saya for Christmas sent us all like a cosmetic bag, like an embroidered cosmetic bag with like all kinds of goodies in it, like just all kinds of goodies. So I have to tell, I don't know what it is. Let's see. Janet says, you talked about feeling sad about not having this change in your heart earlier. Now, I said I had a moment of sadness, right? Then I realized I had to go through it like I went through it, right? Like I had to dampen that down because she said, you want to have a change of heart while your parents are still alive. I was not able to do that. It was my process, right? Now, I have had changes. I went from not speaking to my mother at all to being willing to be her caregiver. So there were changes all along the way that happened a little bit, but this like melting feeling that I felt, this release I felt was not until the end of her life. Yeah, Jean said, I've seen you soften about your mama over the past year. I have. I've done a lot of work. A lot. And it's finding those thoughts, right? It's always like for me, it is like trying on a pair of shoes. And then I find a thought like the last year, the reason Jean has seen me change over my mama is I wanted to take exquisite care of my grandmother's baby. And when I thought of her that way, it softened me some. And it made it easier to care for her, and it changed. Now I've tried on a lot of thoughts over the years that did not give me that same result, but it still then wasn't softening really towards my mom. It was like wanting to honor my grandmother, and then that's why y'all, when you talk to coaches and when you are journaling, that's one reason that private coaching is so amazing because you get to work on all of these thoughts that you have. For me, it was like, I want to go to bed proud. Wanted to go to bed proud, and I wanted to take exquisite care of my grandmother's baby. Those two things is what got me. It's that little bit of a shift, and it felt good in my body. It felt good in my body, but until she was on morphine and unable to process, that was when the thought of she did the best she could, and I could connect it with those 9 months that she brought me here healthy, that she delivered me healthy. And so it's just trying on different thoughts, getting to a place, getting comfortable with that place, and then stepping into the next, like, what did Corinne call them? Like stepping stone thoughts, right? Like this, she took care of me and exquisite. She took care of herself when she was pregnant. That thought would have been out of reach for me a year ago. That thought would have not been available to me. It wouldn't have felt true to me. I was not there. So you start small. You just start small with what feels the most true to you, what brings you a little bit of comfort. Sit with it for a while. Then, when that one feels comfortable, you can take another step. Yeah, and Kathy said, and we help you find the thoughts that work for you. That's why we ask so many questions. Kathy literally got on a call with me the other day and just asked me a whole shit ton of questions to help me. And I felt so much better after I talked to her. So it helped me to process through some of the decisions I made, some of the things that I was questioning. So, I mean, I would have loved to have had a change of heart with my mom earlier. Like, wouldn't it have been nice if we would have? But Kathy and I were talking about this the other day too. Not only did I drop some shit when I saw her in that hospital, she dropped it too. There was a change in her as well. Not just, I was not the only one that experienced a change. She knew she was at the end of her life. She did not, she dropped a lot, which allowed us to have the connection we did in those final days. So it was just the perfect time and the perfect place. So you can't force it either, which I wish you could. Wouldn't that be nice? That's co-regulation. Thank you, Kathy. Yes. But we both, I feel like there was a shift in both of us. And she never said, I want you to also say this. She never said, I'm so sorry for how I treated you. She didn't. I did not get like a, whoa. But I know she didn't love our relationship either. She was not happy that we were estranged for a time. I know she wasn't. Couldn't have been. I was her child. So I did not, she didn't apologize. This is me. This was me changing my heart for her, changing my thoughts about her, processing through grief for her. She never did say, I wish I would have been a better mother. It would have been so nice. I made a lot of mistakes. Like there was none of that from her. Yes, you are the only one you can change. That's exactly right. This is Colleen from Concord, right up the street. I started back to No BS with the 8-week end of the year challenge. At the end of January, I made a goal weight. Oh, I decided to move the maintenance planner and all things maintenance for February. We are 4 days in and the panic has started. Okay. In the past, I've always started to gain back as soon as I declare maintenance. I know the past is not an indicator of the future. Yes. This week, the smallest normal scale fluctuation is making me anxious. I've started the maintenance course. I was going to suggest that. You're way ahead of me, Colleen. Do you remember how you felt the final time you declared maintenance and how you moved through it? Yes, I will tell you, this is exactly what happened to me. I found this thought. So when I got to maintenance, I immediately gained about 10 pounds and then I lost it. And then I gained it again and I lost it. And I was like, why do I keep doing this to myself? What is the problem? I had a belief when I was working with a coach and I was journaling. I had this belief. This is literally, it came, I wrote it one day. Like, I don't know where it came from. If you're not gaining weight, you're losing weight. That's what I believed. It was a belief I had in my heart. I had to question that belief because that really was what was driving my eating. Because I was like, well, I got here and I got to gain weight and I got to lose weight and I got to gain weight and I got to lose weight. Because in my mind, you were doing one or the other. You couldn't be just, you had to be on one side or the other. You had to be gaining weight or losing weight. So I had to do a lot of work around what does it look like to be a person who maintains weight? Are there people in this world that maintain their weight? My thought must not be true because there are people who stay about the same weight. And I had to really start to question that. And then you'll learn a lot in that maintenance course, Colleen, about, being the person that you want to be. Like, who do you want to be with food? What do you want your relationship to be like? What kind of habits are just who you are now? So go through that maintenance planner, but try to find those thoughts like I did. You're either gaining weight or losing weight. I mean, that was a hose that hosed me for a minute. So you're exactly, yeah, I think I have the same thought. If I don't lose, I'm gaining. You, one of the other. I just believe that because what had I always done? Gotten to goal weight or close to it, and then just went right back up the scale. Then I'd get up there and I'm like, oh shit, too far, and go back down. And then I would go up. I mean, I didn't know any other way. So I had to start saying, like, and that course is so good to do that too. What does maintenance look like? I would even suggest y'all, if you even are within like 20, 25 pounds of maintenance, go ahead and listen to the maintenance course because it will really help you start thinking like that maintenance version of you. Does that up and down still happen sometimes? I mean, I have a 10-pound range. Sometimes I'm at the closer to the top of my range. Sometimes I'm closer to the bottom of my range because we talked to you in the course about setting a range. Yeah. So the maintenance course is really, really good. It's going to actually get, it's being rewritten right now. Yes. Lizzie is redoing it and it's going to be fire. It is going to be really good. But it really does help you figure out how to live in a non-weight loss. Yeah, Darlene's got a 10-pound weight range too. Because, I mean, it's going to go up and down. It's going to go up and down. Oh, let's see. Why do the questions the coaches ask sometimes feel annoying? I like this question, Jenny. Is it our resilience to the situation? I know they are supposed to help me, but I feel like they made me mad, annoyed at first. Girl, that does happen sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, Jenny, especially in Ask Coaches. So we read a question, then we ask a question. Sometimes we don't always hit the mark, right? It's different when you're on a coaching call, and we can kind of go back, have a back and forth. Darlene said, because we don't want to answer it. But a lot of times when you're feeling annoyed at the question they asked, that is the exact question you need to kind of dig into. And even if we've not exactly hit the mark, your answer gives us more information to ask the next question. Yeah. And like Kathy said, annoyed could definitely be resistance to the answering. Yes. Whenever I do like coaching, sometimes I'll ask a question, and then the client will be like, well, shit. Yeah. Then we want to know why you're annoyed. Yeah. And Annette said, Annette, I think they're annoyed with me. You know, we ain't never annoyed with you. We're just trying to get to the root. Oh, I get frazzled with all the questions from coaches because I've never learned to feel the feelings. Okay. Well, you don't have to give feeling answers. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be? I know. It's hard though. Those damn questions. I know. I used to, whenever I was doing like more private coaching, I used to have a client that was like, I'm going to say some things and I don't want you to ask me a question. No questions. She was like, I'm so tired of answering questions. Like, yeah, because you're tired of getting to the point. Always dig a little bit. Ask the questions. Let's see. Carrie says, my weight loss had been trending down over the last several months, and I was within 15 pounds of goal weight. Recently, over the past 6 to 8 weeks, I regained 5 to 7 pounds and have stopped doing some of the little things that contributed to my prior progress. Also, it has been super cold in the Midwest, and my energy feels zapped. Okay. Any suggestions for getting back on track? Well, you can take the Regain Solution. Is it still called the Regain Solution? The Regain course under bonus courses. It is so good. so good. But if you could think of one thing that you have let fall off, the one thing that would create weight loss for you that you could get back in weight loss mode with, what would it be? The one thing, because what happens is when we start to fall off on our habits, we compare what we're doing right now to the version of us that we're do was doing all the things. So when we talk about that's not good enough, that'll never be good enough, it even feels less because we're like, yeah, but the last a month ago we were doing these six things. Now I just got to do this one thing. But remember, you got to that step from zero to one is the hardest. And the other thing I love about this, Carrie, so you've lost weight and then you've only regained 5 to 7 pounds. And you're like, I'm gonna figure this up. I'm gonna figure this out right now. How many times have we lost weight, stopped doing some of the things, and didn't even think about getting help till we were 25 pounds up again? I'm gonna just tell you something, Carrie. This is amazing. And you need to celebrate yourself. Okay, Carrie said it's probably not eating after 7. Okay. After 7 o'clock, what is that snack now giving you? What is that snack giving you, Carrie? What are you looking for after 7 o'clock? Carrie and Darlene and Carrie, y'all should exchange phone numbers and then y'all can text each other in the evenings. That'd be fun. You're looking for comfort and warmth. Okay. How can you give yourself comfort and warmth without food? Maybe wrap up in a big blanket, some herbal tea, decaf, of course, in the evenings. What would that look like? Could you just do that? A blankie in the fireplace. Oh my God, does that not sound awesome? Does that sound like something you'd be willing to try tonight just to see how it feels? Hot tea, yes. Yeah, see if that, I mean, if you're willing to try that tonight, let's just see what happens. And then you can either email me tomorrow or post in the Facebook group. I mean, you know, I sit here all day with my heated blankie that Coach Judith gave me last year for Christmas. Yeah, a new heated blanket. I know, don't you love it? I love this heated blanket. I use it every day, even in the summertime. Alicia, lately I've been struggling with feeling unappreciated at home, even though nothing is any different than usual. Can you give me some journaling prompts or thoughts to work on to figure out why I'm having these feelings? I mean, I would just say, why do I feel unappreciated? Try to catch yourself in those moments of feeling unappreciated, or what probably it is. What do I think they need to give me? What do I think they need to give me? What am I expecting from them that they're not giving me? That would be a great one. And then is it their job to give me that? Try that and see. Yeah. Oh, Kathy Hartman's doing Legos over there. I did paint by numbers. Jen Saya got us all a paint by numbers, and it was so nice. So nice. When's the new maintenance course due to be released? Not sure. I know Lizzie is working on it right now, but I'm not sure of the when. I'm not sure of the when. Let's see. I've been living super close to goal, but I think I have been in maintenance more than should I take a solid week to count calories? Maybe no. Maybe should I just say I am in maintenance? Well, that's up to you. Okay. You need to look at here's what I want you to do, anonymous, to decide if you're at maintenance or not. Look at where you are still overeating. Where are you still emotionally eating? Find all those little places. And try cleaning those up. Or ask yourself, do I even want to clean those up? Is that something I even want to do? And then, if there are things that you want to let go of, see what happens. Try that and see. But look at everywhere you're, where you're overeating. Free online jigsaw. Oh, you're doing all these fun things. Diamond art. My daughter, who has ADHD and bipolar, has gotten into that whatever diamond art. She has bedazzled all of her makeup. She has bedazzled. I don't know what and all she's bedazzled. She's bedazzled everything. She's literally. She went out in the snow the other day to get like this special glue because she needed different glue. She's so into diamond art. The other day, I heard a weight loss commercial, and their phrase was, "Weight loss isn't fair." Who says? So take or do this plan. But I've been curious what the coaches would have to say to that. I say that phrase is bullshit. That phrase, uh-uh. Weight loss is learning how to manage your emotions. That's what weight loss really is. Weight loss is learning how to keep promises to yourself. How is that not fair? Yeah, it makes no sense. I don't know how it wouldn't be fair. Weight loss is, feeling your feelings and honoring your body. How is it none of that fair? That's all fair. I love it. I don't know. Weight loss is the culmination of self-care. Yeah, I thought it was crazy. Yeah, I know. Well, because why? They're trying to sell you something, Veronica. That's right. It's not fair. Because what? They don't have thought work, right? They don't have thought work. Yeah, they're marketing that they think it's unfair because what are we told? You can't have what you want. You got to restrict yourself. It's so unfair. Everybody else gets to eat what they get want to eat, but when you're on a diet, you don't get to do that. That's unfair. That's what we've been told all this time. Not this revolutionary eat when you're hungry, stop when you've had enough and eat what the hell you want to eat. Lord have mercy. I mean, there's that. The diet is the enemy. That's right, girl. Preach it, Christy. Preach it. Preach it, preach it. Cheryl said, thanks for sharing and being an example on a different level. My mother was bipolar and died in 1987. I feel that I give in to temptation because I've survived so much and I'm a good mother to my 29-year-old. How can I get beyond survival mode? I love that though. Like Cheryl, my mother was the best example to make me the mother that I am. I used to say, what would Jeannie do? I'd do the opposite. I knew based on how she did, she made me the mother I am. I had to go through what I had to go through to become the mother that I am, but I am the best mom because of my mother. I am resilient. She taught me how to be resilient. She taught me how not to take bullshit. And she taught me how to be an amazing mom. And I've said that for years, and it does land with me. It does land with me. You learned what not to do. And I hate you had to learn it that way. Like, it's nobody should have to learn it that way, right? But we do. Some of us learn it that way. I just want y'all to think about how many years maybe that there was this generational, like, fucked upness in my family. Like, how many generations? And I broke that. That's pretty badass. I mean, I remember saying things to my mom, my kids when they were younger. Like my mama would come out my mouth. They were little. Like, I've done it. Like, you call this room clean? What is this? I don't know what's wrong with, like, I've said that to my kids, which is what my mama said to me. But you know what I did different than my mom? I went and apologized. I'm so sorry. You did not deserve that. I broke that. I broke it. You broke it. I mean, Cheryl, You're a warrior and a badass. You broke generational trauma and you did not pass it down to your kids because of who your mother was. You were like, I could be that way, but I'm not. It stops here. I mean, my dad was a drug addict in jail half my life, all the time. He did drugs, he was an alcoholic. He was a farmer. He grew his own marijuana, which is why he was in jail. He was sucked at being a farmer. His farming skills left a lot to be desired, I reckon, because he kept getting caught. He kept going to jail. I broke so many generational bullshit. Been married for 31 years. Like, I mean, it is amazing. And I owe that to the family that I had. It was a shitty family. It was not a great family. Thank God I had my grandmama Susie, but I mean, it was not great. I broke it. You broke it, Cheryl. That's to be celebrated. I haven't given up in 6 years, but I do not end up where I want to be with my weight. It feels like climbing the mountain every day. I'm doing the start and I still don't stick to what works. How do I figure out what's inside me keeps me stalled? Up five, down five, nonstop. I want you to take all this to ask coaches because it's not something we can. You need to have a back and forth to figure this out. But I want you to take this. I want you to answer it this way. Ask it this way and ask coaches. Okay. I want you to first, before you go to ask coaches, say to yourself, if I had to guess, what is getting in my way? Take a wild guess. I mean, a shot in the dark. And Kathy will look for your question. Kathy's on here. She'll look for your question for you. Or you can email me. You can email. We will meet you wherever the hell you at. If you don't want to post and ask coaches, email me. Just hit the blue question mark on the bottom of any page or, hit reply to any email and I gotcha. Let's see. Oh, Darlene, condolences. Let's see. Last time I was with you on a Wednesday call, I said I was the same weight 8 days. I did change my battery and my scale per your recommendation. I've been lower by almost 2 pounds. For 6 days and then went 135 and then went back up. Yeah. It is so fun. Like always change the batteries. Yeah. Yeah, Nancy, apologize. Yeah, I mean, and it's never too late to apologize either. You know? Lisa said, I'm on a GLP-1, but not really losing. There was chatter a few weeks ago about timed eating, but my problem is the opposite, that I'm almost giving myself permission to eat a meal because it's time. Okay. But I'm also not sure how to find my hunger now since it has changed. Just take a guess, Lisa, if you think you're hungry. And I would not eat at any time that you think it's time. If you think it's time, it's not time to eat. Like, oh, it's 12, it's 10, it's 11. Just don't do that. Timed eating is for when somebody really has lost all connection with their doable hunger cues. You know, you said yours have changed. So look for other things that it could be. On a GLP-1, Christy can speak to this. Oh, Christy, if you keep your scale in the bathroom, the moisture is rough on the batteries. I did not know that. Huh. But your hunger cues, make sure that you're opening yourself up to other cues, like losing focus, like getting a little bit jittery. Not it might feel different. Jen says on a GLP-1, you also aren't thirsty. Yeah. You have to find your new, yeah, because they do change. Or if you've been here longer than 30 days, Lisa, go into the join the medical weight loss group and go in there and talk to them about what their hunger cues are. Andrea or Andrea, I always hate to get people's names wrong. I have finally found enough, or I think I have, but I'm having a hard time stopping at dinner. After dinner is the best time of day for me. I'm done with dinner, work, the rest of the night, I get to relax. The only thing I can think of is that somehow attached to being done for the day. It probably is. The food is good. I don't want to stop. I don't think it's anything deeper than that. Any thoughts? Yes. First of all, you recognize it. I love that so much. So good. Right? Next week, we're going to be talking about in the start how to stop it enough when you don't want to, like how to actually stop it enough. But for a cup, for me, for dinner, I'm the same. Like, let's at least set yourself up for success. This week, try serving yourself half. Give yourself that little bit of a pause. Like, see if you can set yourself. Now, you might still have the thoughts of, I don't want to stop. I should get a little bit more. Then you say, I hear that, but could I just wait 5 minutes and see how I feel? And maybe you do go back and get more. Maybe you don't, but give yourself that pause to at least start to have that conversation. You know, I'm going to get to relax. I'm thinking this food is going to help me relax, but I'm also now about to go in and relax. So there's that. Try that. Let's see. I put on about 15 pounds at the end of 2025. I have done the START program. I have lost 4.5 pounds in January. Woohoo! Even though the scale is going down, I'm so mad at myself about putting the weight on. I'm having huge habit eats that I'm not realizing until after. For me, it's when my kids get home from school and we are sharing stories. I keep eating or I eat when I'm not hungry. Okay. Couple things. Well, first of all, you're doing great, Christine. Like, that's amazing. You're doing an amazing job. You're losing weight. You're cleaning up in some places. Okay. So you're cleaning up enough that you are losing weight. Even though the scale's going down, I'm mad at myself for putting weight on. Here's the thing. You did not have the tools to keep the weight off. You were not probably not really working on the emotional eating. You didn't dive in deep enough to your habits and emotional eating, so it makes sense that you put the weight back on. Right? That's what you can tell yourself about that. Let's see. So, and then you're having huge habit eats that you're not realizing until after. Well, that after is one of the golden moments of weight loss. So, you know, after that you've eaten. So now it's time to process it. I'm processing it, but I mean, I'm eating because it's what I've always done with my kids after school. We're sharing stories, sharing snacks. Sometimes I'm not hungry, and sometimes I just keep eating. So now what? Now that you recognize that, how can you set yourself up for success? So maybe your kids get something else and you get like some carrots or something, maybe something that's easier for you to stop at. Maybe you serve yourself on a different plate, a smaller plate. So if you're going to have cookies, you can just put one cookie on your plate. Maybe I used to do this to my kids all the time. I'm gonna eat this one cookie. If y'all see me get another cookie, y'all smack my hand because I'm done. Okay? You can do that too. Set yourself up some accountability. You could even start by asking your kids, let's sit down and talk. Is anybody hungry? Even ask them if they're hungry. Show them that that's a great question to ask yourself before you eat a snack. And they say, yes, I'm hungry. Oh, okay, I'll get you something. You know what? I'm actually not hungry right now. I think I'm just going to sit and chit chat. Say your stuff out loud, your thoughts out loud. See if that helps, Christine. Is there a goal setting course? There's a little bit about goal setting inside of the No BS Weight Loss course. And that is where I would start. But I'm going to tell you, Whitney, your goal is less than you are now. Just pick a number and head that way. There's no right or wrong. Like for me, I wanted to be 199 because I'd been over 200 forever and ever and ever. Okay. So I just said 199. Now I weigh 180 now. But your goal is anywhere less than you are right now. And then I was 265. So 199 seemed far for me. It seemed far and a long way. So then I lost my weight in decades. So I was 265. So I was like, what do I need to do? My first goal was 159. I'm 259. How am I going to get to 259? Then I got to 259. I'm like, okay, my next goal is 249. How do I get in the next decade? And so I did it that way. But it's anything less than you are right now. I've gotten better at waiting for hunger at breakfast or lunch, but there are times I'm not hungry at dinner time but want to eat with my family. I love this. I feel like I'm feeding and caring for everyone and should sit down and eat too. Okay. How can I reframe this so I can see that not eating if I'm not hungry is a form of caring for myself? Well, first of all, it is a huge form of caring for yourself. And so if you really do want to eat with your family, first of all, let's talk about how that can happen. So I want you to realize that if you are eating, you do not always have to eat to enough. Okay. You can stop before enough. I used to do this at work. I was hungry after work, but I wanted to make sure I was going to eat dinner with my family. So I got a little 100 calorie snack pack of nuts. I ate those in my car. It did not get me to enough. It just took the edge off of hunger so that, like, in an hour and a half, when my family was ready to eat, I was hungry and I could sit down and eat with them. So you can do that too. Like, I do Friday night dinners. Like, my girlfriends and I and our husbands, we always go out to Friday night dinner. So I do a lot of that on Fridays as well. You know, like, if I eat, if I'm hungry, if I'm not hungry for lunch until later, I sometimes will skip lunch on Friday and just eat a snack because I'm getting closer to Friday night dinner. And I want to make sure that I'm hungry when Friday night dinner rolls around. Now, the other thing is, you also, if you're not hungry at dinner, you deserve a break. You can still sit down without eating. And I will tell you, it is very uncomfortable. Well, it might not be. I'm not going to put my thoughts on you because it might not be uncomfortable. The first few times I sat down with my family and I was not hungry and I did not eat, it felt very uncomfortable to me. It did get more comfortable. And I had a thought about, I used to, Sunday, my husband used to make big breakfast. And then I don't eat breakfast. I'm never hungry. So he would sit and eat big breakfast and then he would make it for himself. And I would sit there and just have coffee. And I said it was lovely because he had to lick because he was eating and he had his mouth full. So I could just totally run the entire conversation because he had his mouth full. So that's how I looked at it. I got to ask my kids more questions whenever I sat down to dinner and didn't eat anything. That sort of stuff. You can still have the connection with your family. So think about it that way as well. And again, if you've got kids, say it out loud, y'all. Say it out loud. That's the best gift I think you can give to your kids. Sit down, Marlene, and say, I'm actually not hungry tonight, but I am so glad I get to sit here with y'all and drink my water and hang out. Doesn't mean I can't sit here with you, but I'm just not hungry. If I get hungry later, I'll eat. But for now, I'm just going to sit here with y'all till I get hungry. What a gift to give your kids. Say those thought processes out loud. Give them the gift of no BS without, preaching at them. It's just what you're doing. It is different, but I realize I don't have to be eating when I want to be with my people. Yes. Yes. Lead by example. We have all these amazing thoughts and we're changing ourselves from the inside out. You know, I know you, we think in our head, oh man, this tastes so good. I really do want to keep eating it. Imagine if you were sitting at dinner. It's your favorite dinner, and all your kids are there, and you go, oh my God, this tastes so good. I want to keep eating it, but I have had enough. And it's okay to leave some food behind. Oh my God, what a gift to give your kids. Talk about generational crap. Wouldn't that be lovely to tell them? And you're not telling them, don't eat anymore. You're just saying, this is what I'm doing. Here's my thought process. Because we're building all these amazing thought processes around food in our head. And we're just keeping them under lock and key. Let's give them to our people, our children. Let's see. My son just got married this weekend. Then my grandson got sick on the way home. I'm struggling to get back in routine as I'm his caregiver during this time. What is your 100% right now? Mary, it might look different than it did last week when you didn't have a sick grandson. What can you do today that is your 100% today while you're caring for someone who is not typically living in your home? What is your 100%? Your routine this week ain't gonna look like your routine last week. This ain't a regular week. It's not a regular week. And we can't judge this 100% on last week's 100% because it's totally different. Looks totally different. Well, I'm not thinking about weight, just goals in general. Is there any, where is some good goal setting? If you go on the website, under video replays, coaching replays, on the under coaching video replays and just type in goals, you'll see a lot of like goal setting stuff in there, Whitney. All right. Any other questions? Y'all had a lot of questions today. That was good. Really, really good. Thank y'all so much for like, I've gotten so many emails. I just really do appreciate it so much. Like I said, the funeral is, people will start arriving here tomorrow. Then, you know, my husband's retired, so he's cleaning the house right now. I know, I missed y'all too. I missed y'all too. I just, it is so nice to be back with y'all. Like this is where I feel the best is when I'm with y'all. And so it's just really, really nice to just to be here with y'all. So, and just thank y'all for all the prayers and the love and the hugs and everything. I really, really do appreciate it more than you know. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day, a great rest of your week, and I will talk to y'all. I'll be here next Wednesday, y'all. Bye.